Amigos, this is Ray Hudson from beIN Sports and Sirius XM FC, and you are listening to Barca Talk.
Today in Barca Talk, FC Barcelona defeated Elche 1-0 in the Joan Gamper Trophy to finish the preseason in the midst of a heated discussion after Ronald Koeman decided not to include Ricky Puig in his squad list. So what's going on? What's this board planning to do with Ricky Puig? And what's going on with the Barca future in this transfer market? Besides, we get to know our new member, Sergio Rodriguez. Hello, friends from Barca Talk. Thank you for being with us once again. My name is Alejandro Villegas. I'm going to be your host today. And today is a special day for us, not only because the Barca season is about to come up, is about to start. We're all getting ready. We're all excited, but we're also excited because of two things. One, we are already part, it was announced, we are part of the Blaugranagram Podcast Network, which is something very important for us here in Barca Talk and ADN Barca, our two podcasts that we have here in Sounded Media. So that's a big, big step for us. We're going to be part of the Blaugranagram team, and we're going to have some of the staff members of their team, their writers, coming up in some of our content that we're creating here in Barca Talk. But it's also special for us because today we're going to get to know Sergio Rodriguez, who is going to be one of our members of the show during this season. Very excited to keep growing here in the Barca Talk family. So that's the main dish for today. It's not Puig, it's not the Gamper. Now we're going to get to know Sergio, and we want to welcome Sergio. Sergio, how are you, man? Welcome to Barca Talk.
Thank you. Gracias, Alejandro, man. Nice to be here. I'm like the main course meal. I'm on the platter, man. I'm honored. I'm spicy though, dude. Hot. Salsa. You like flavor, man.
Good.
You're going to be a sour dish, man. It's going to be good.
we need some flavor, and we need some good news, especially with this, what's going on with Barcelona
Positive. We got the first trophy of the season. So
yeah, and it could be the only one, so you better enjoy it. It was the the Joan Gamper. Barcelona beat Elche 1-0, and we're going to be talking about that in the second part of this episode. But first, we're going to get to know Sergio a little bit. Sergio, how long ago did you start being a Barca follower? Which team got you in love with this Barca family?
How it happened, right? What's the genesis? Yes. Everybody has their own story, their genesis. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it happened where I just got out of the Marine Corps, man. I was in the Marines and got out. And during the dead period, I watched the 94 World Cup. So I remember, okay. I grew up a baseball and I grew up in LA, right? It's mm-hmm. about the Dodgers, the Lakers, and at the time, the Raiders. So that's what I grew up with. But the 94 World Cup came, and that was here in the U.S. And I watched every game. I watched every game with my neighbor, and my neighbor, you know, he knew the tactics and he would explain everything to me. And you start to appreciate the nuances of the game, the little thing and the tactics of it. And so that was 94. And then little by little, I think we got cable. We finally afforded mm-hmm. cable, and Fox en Español was the big soccer channel. And I would watch, you know, oddly enough, I would watch Atletico Madrid. You know, they had Kiko mm-hmm. Narváez. They had El Cholo Simeone. I think Juninho came on later. It was a nice squad. So I was kind of watching Atletico Madrid. And then all of a sudden, they played the FCB. And they had El Fenomeno. And you're like, whoa, what is this? Like that's an appropriate nickname, right? El Fenomeno, the phenomenon. This guy was a phenomenon. He had the dribbling skills of Messi, but with power. And he just ran over you, had a strong leg, and he wasn't going to pass to anybody. It was him, and boom, Stoichkov was blown in the dust. And just give me the ball, and I'm going to do it. So that was his first season in his first and last season, as it turned out, in Barcelona. So I got to appreciate that. And as I appreciated him, you got to understand more the history of the club, you know, the underdog, right? At that time, it was the underdog, right? It was this little club that you know was scrappy and just got out of the European Cup with Johan Cruyff as coach, and right. then transitioning away from Stoichkov and Pep, and then came R9 Ronaldo, and then that exploded. You know, like, wow, does it sound familiar, right? Like the board F's it up. Yeah, yes. You know, I was reading, what was it, Sid Lowe, right? Sid Lowe had that book on El Clásico in La Liga. And this is a recurring theme, right? If you take a macro look at it, like Barcelona, it goes through its catastrophic phase. It goes up, down, up, down. And this is just a manifestation of that. This is the catastrophe happening, and we're living through it. Right? For the newer fans, right? They grew up in this messy age, right? They grew up, and it's been great. Yeah, we won trophies. Woo! But dude, seriously, you step back, and this is part of the ebb and flow. This is part of the cycles, and it comes with the package, right? Like I don't know if you're married, Alejandro, but this is your marriage.
I am married, and I grew up with one of the first moments. Like, well, I think I've lived two of those. First, the Van Gaal moments, which was a little bit of a crisis, and then the Frank Rijkaard after they won the Champions League, all the crisis that went on there with Deco, Ronaldinho, and all before Pep got here and gave us so many championships. So, yes, I'm with you there. I feel you when you say that Barcelona is always up and down, right? You get that feeling that something – it's like 5 or 6 years of something, everything going fine, and then it crashes. It goes down.
Right. And as bad as it is, I think it was right before the Cruyff era that all the players – got in front of the microphone, yes, and we're just saying like, please help us, please. Like, they were crying, and you're like, this, you know, when you talk to old culés and socios that have been, you know, the older generation, the 60s and 70s, like, they just sit back and laugh like, this is part of it, man. It's like, this,
I know. And that's what we hope they happen, right? It would have been awesome to see Piqué and Sergio Roberto and Messi just sitting out and saying, you know what, if this board doesn't quit right now, we're not going to keep playing for FC Barcelona like those players did at that point, right? And but it's a different era, right? If players don't risk it too much, I guess. So right. it's a different moment in international soccer.
The players all know, you know, Puyol knows. He knows it's a shit show, right? He knows Bartomeu is and the whole administration is just crap. Piqué knows, Xavi knows, Iniesta knows, all the alumni know. They all know, but the fans don't know. So it's kind of weird. It's like an inside secret. They all know it's crap, but the fans are like, no, this is my club, my school club, you know, all this, all that. But no, it's like Messi said, it's the administration, you know, they're driving the bus, right? Barto's driving the bus. We're on the bus. And he's driving it. He's driving it off the cliff, bro. He's driving. We're like, oh, shoot, this dude's driving it off the cliff. Let's either jump out or get a new driver. So we're trying to dump this guy, right? We're trying to dump this guy, get a new driver, steer that thing. You know, Messi's driving shotgun like, no, go in the direction. And this is what's happening with our club, right? And we got a strap on the seatbelt. We're along for the ride. I donated to Más que una Emoción. Like, let's get them out. Let's if I was there, like, yeah, I would go there. If I was a socio, I would go there, put a vote. Like, let's get them out. So to see that they got almost 21,000 votes in a pandemic.
Right.
It is huge, bro. That's huge.
I know. And we can talk a little bit about that in the second part. But I want to continue to know you because you said you started watching soccer around 1994. So that was a couple of years after the Barcelona team, thanks to Ronald Koeman, who's our coach right now, won that European championship against Sampdoria at Wembley. So that was when Barcelona didn't used to win many European championships. Like nowadays, like you say, younger fans are kind of used to being favorites to win the Champions League, where in the past, that was not the case. It was always Real Madrid and then other teams. And Barcelona was part of those other teams that were not competing all the time. So you grew up, you watched Ronaldo playing for Barcelona. But who's your favorite player, though, in all these years watching Barcelona play? I can tell you mine. Mine is Samuel Eto'o, besides Messi, of course. We get rid of Messi in this discussion because he's from another planet. But besides Messi, who's your favorite player all time that you watch, obviously, playing for Barcelona?
You know, I think I would coincide with Puyol when he said, like, before Ronnie, right? Ronnie, Ronaldinho is just beautiful. You know, so I grew up a Laker fan and I had Magic Johnson, right?
Okay.
And this guy was just, you know, it was magical, right? No left passes, this and that, won championships. And Ronaldinho was the essence of that, right? With a smile and just having fun and playing, partying at night. Ooh, you know, you win 3-2, you party at night, you just go into training drunk. And he was just that. And he just played with a smile on his face. And that was beautiful. That, you know, so it was like, wow, this guy is that you can play like that. Because before, you know, you kind of used to watch and it was kind of like the English style where it was just a lot of crossing into the box and a lot of, you know, shots. And then you see this guy, you know, and oddly enough, you know, that Laporta was going to buy David Beckham.
Yes.
He wanted Beckham. And I'm like, holy smokes. He wanted Beckham, but he second choice was Ronnie. Oh, my God. That changed the course of history for the club.
I know. We're glad that Ronaldinho came at that point and that he won. He also won a Champions League for Barcelona. And that was one of the most beautiful moments. And even Pep says you have to, of course, Pep and his team are the best team that we've always watched in Barcelona. But he always remembered Ronaldinho. He's the guy that brought joy back to Barcelona. And that's something that we've always had to remember for Ronaldinho, right? He's that type of a player. So that's Sergio Rodriguez. He's going to be part of the team this year. Welcome to Barca Talk. And we're going to go to this quick pause and we're going to be back to talk about what's going on right now in FC Barcelona. So we're going to stop right here to remind you guys to please join us in our Patreon family. Now we are part of the Blaugranagram podcast network and we're going to have more and more content coming for you guys from Spain, from Europe, and also from the United States. So please join us there in our Patreon. We are a growing family and we would love to have you there as part of the Barca Talk family. So look for us as Barca Talk in the Patreon community and we'll be there for you creating more and more quality content. Thank you very much. Okay, now that we got to know a little bit of Sergio Rodriguez, now we're going to jump in the present, right? Not such a beautiful image right now, especially with the news that we woke up on Saturday having this report saying that Ronald Koeman does not count with Ricky Puig in our team. We all thought Ricky Puig was going to be the present and the future of this squad, and now we get this devastating news for Barca fans because he was one of the few midfielders that you could tell has the Barca DNA, right, going through his veins. So, Sergio, as a Barca follower, as a Barca fan, how do you feel about this decision that it's been taken by Ronald Koeman?
You know, it's one of those things where, is it just a rumor, right, or is it official?
Well, no. He said that was right, that he talked to Puig. He said it right after the Gamper win 1-0 against Elche. He said that he talked to the young guys and he told Puig that he was not going to be part of this team this year. So the loan option is very, it's probably going to happen. He's probably going to be alone or he's going to be playing for Barca B or just being part of the squad, but not constantly in the squad list for matches.
You know, whenever some decisions like this are made, you know, I kind of always put myself in their position, right? If I was Koeman. So if I'm Koeman, okay, I'm going with a 4-2-3-1, right? That's my base formation, right? So I got this young buck right here, Puig, and I'm like, okay, so I got the Puig can only play the 10 spot, right? He's either going to play the 10 or he's going to play in the pivot. That's the only places I see him play.
Yeah.
Right? So in the 10 spot, I got Messi, I got Griezmann, I got Coutinho could play the 10 spot.
Yes.
And probably Pedri. I seen Pedri play and that guy, and he's already proven, right? Pedri's proven in Las Palmas. So he could probably play the 10 spot. Oh, Alenia, if it comes to worse, right? So, okay, that's the 10 spot. So now I'm looking at the double pivot. All right, who's going to play alongside Dijon? And we have Janic and we have Alenia, right? So there's another Masia guy, right? So he played, he was on loan at Real Betis and he can play, right? So to me, to me, Alenia seems to me like a Thiago-esque, except he's left-footed, right? And he might be ready, you know? So So, and I don't know who else is going to be there in the.
Well, Busquets is going to be there.
There we go. So it's like, okay, so who's Pucci bumping off?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, so I can kind of see where he's coming from, right? And Auscules are like, you know, he's the future. He's a yes. But in this 4-2-3-1, like, it might make sense for him to be on loan. And, you know, like Pedri was on loan, like yeah. Alenia was on loan. Get some quality, you know, Primera División minutes, you know, get some quality La Liga minutes. And probably when Coleman sees this guy, sees this puny little skinny dude, how old is he, 19? Like, you need to put on some weight. You need to get strong. Like, the big thing is getting strong at this level. How many Barça B graduates have we seen that just can't make that jump to the first team and they just don't have it? It's like, okay, let's give this guy some quality time. Look at Cucurella, right?
Cucurella, yes.
Yeah, how many times was he on loan? Like, holy smokes, four times? And yeah, he finally burst out, and obviously. Yeah,
Ricky Puig is 21 years old, so he's
21, okay.
He needs to play right now in first division, even if he's not with Barcelona. He has to play somewhere because he's not that youngster. I mean, he's still young, but he's not like he's 17 or 16 that when you can still hold him up. He needs to play right now. So that's a very good option, going alone, especially if, I mean, I'll send him somewhere else and not to play against him during the season. But I understand if he stays in Spain, it's going to be hard because they have until, what, October 5th to finish this type of transfer, and we'll see what happens there with Ricky Puig. It's interesting that you said that because we have another guy that it's been there and he could be an option too in midfield, which is Sergi Roberto, right? If Semedo stays, Semedo should be the starter in that position, and that leaves you with Sergi Roberto playing more in midfield whenever he gets to play.
It's a lot of depth, right? There's a lot of depth in the midfield. You have a lot of options. That's a good point. Sergi, that's another guy that, you know, when Coleman came, he said, oh, I'm going to play these guys in their position. Well, you got a right back guy. Yeah. Reality starts to kick in, right? And you start looking at the squad and who has left, who has joined. It's kind of still the same squad, right? So it's interesting. So you put yourself in the coach's position, like, okay, like Culés, don't jump off the cliff. Like, might be a good thing. Like, he needs quality time. Like, let's loan him out. I don't think he should be in Barça B no more. Loan him out. You know, let's send him to Las Palmas over there and get some quality time, or Mallorca or some small team where he's going to get quality minutes and just gain that experience and that development. You know, so if you put yourself in that position, you understand. Obviously, in a perfect world, you would have all La Masia graduates playing with Ansu Fati and Pedri and Trincao. You would, woo! Back to the old days, yay! You know, it's not a perfect world. Unfortunately, we have a crappy president. We have a new coach. You know, it goes in line with what Messi says. There is no idea. There is no leadership of what direction the club should go to. And this is just another manifestation of that. Is how do you transition these Barça B players onto the first team with another new coach, right? Who has his own ideas without, you know, with another new athletic technical director who has his own, you know, these guys are only going to be here 2 to 3 months, 6 months at the most, and it's going to start all over again. So it's all part of that problem, the bigger problem of a bad administration that starts first with Bartomeu, and we need to punt him and get him out.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem, right? Hopefully they don't sell Ricky Puig and we can loan him somewhere, and then we can have him back whenever the new president and the new board comes and the new plan comes with all of them. It's weird because we have players like Conrad is still in the first squad. I don't know if he's going to get options there because we know how many forwards we have right now in FC Barcelona. And here I want to pick up your brain a little bit about this. We know Messi is going to play. We know Griezmann is going to play. Griezmann scored the only goal in this Joan Gamper game against Elche. So he's going to start. Coleman already said he's going to be part of the team all the time. So who's going to be up there with them? Because today it was Ansu Fati when they played the Elche. He came back from the injury, so he started. You also saw Trincao playing very well along with Messi and Griezmann in the other friendly match. You also have Dembélé coming up there as a different option. They want to buy Memphis Depay, I guess. I don't know if that's still a reality and if it's still going to come to Barcelona. But you have a lot of options there. What would be your perfect starting 11 with what we have right now in FC Barcelona.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? And then you got the other news that Luis Suarez isn't going anywhere.
Well, that's an option too. We could end up with Suarez in the bench anyway. Yes.
I think it's very realistic, right? I think he did manage to pass the Italian test and he now fulfills an EU spot, right? So he's not outside the EU. So he's an EU citizen, and that's big, right? So now that kind of opens up the squad or for whatever team he goes to get a non-EU player. So if we go back to the team, like, you know, I would think it's Griezmann up top. You know, obviously, if I look at that 4-2-3-1, he's at the head of the spear. And then, you know, I would like to see Fati on the left, at the left wing, for sure, right? If it's not him, it's Coutinho, because I would like a wide player. You know, we have a problem, and we need to have wide players to open it up for Messi in the middle. Mm-hmm. So Ansu Fati will play that line. Trincao, Dembele will also play that line wide. Probably Trincao a little bit more. Yeah. He's a true winger, and he'll cross it in. Where instead of the inverted winger that come in and then to shoot, right? Mm-hmm. Messi style, right? So on the left wing, I would like Fati. I think we can all agree it's time, right? It's he's ready. You know, let's give him the shot. Yeah. I don't know what you think, Alejandro. You think he's ready, or would you like Coutinho right there?
I don't know. Today I saw something that was really interesting. I saw Coutinho playing as a falso nueve, as a false nine over there. So that was interesting, because we know Messi, you can put him up there, but you know he's going to come back. And actually the play today that ended up in the goal, it started with Messi's long pass to Jordi Alba, and then Jordi Alba crossed to Griezmann. So we know Messi's going to come back to that position during the game a lot. So why not have Coutinho a little bit more forward, and then Griezmann starting from the left, and then ended up in the box like he did today against Elche. I don't know. I mean, we have options, and that's a good thing. That's something that Barcelona has been lacking in the last couple of years, real options coming from the bench. And you get that with Ousmane Dembele and all the options that you have. And even Martin Braithwaite coming from the bench for a couple of minutes in some games. I mean, and if Suarez stays, that's a very good bench player to have. I mean, if Griezmann's not having a day, we know how good Messi and Suarez understand each other, so that's always good to have somebody there that you can count on when things are going in a rough patch, right?
And Suarez will sell out for you. 25 minutes, will sell. He's proven it. I love this guy, man. He, imagine the knee surgeries he's had. He had 4 knee surgeries for us.
Yeah.
And he's there 2 months later, ready to go. And he gives it. Obviously, he's getting old, right? Obviously, we all get older and you lose a step. But he will sell out for you. And if you can control his minutes, right? If you can get him, hey, come in second half, 65th minute, sell out for me. He will do it. And he will serve that purpose. Unfortunately, $25 million sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
But that's just the finances. That's just bad management at the Bartomeu level. But you got, if he's our option, then I think you can make it work. I think Coman will make it work with Griezmann up top or Messi serving as a false nine, right? And then come in, or you even have the option of Suarez coming in and playing that role and giving you some really good 25 minutes. And like you said, or Ansu Fati, right? He could play the nine. I think there's plenty of options. You know, when they said Depay, I was like, really? You know,
we don't need another guy.
But if I watched Depay play with the Holland game, and you know what? He roams around. Like, he's not a disciplined nine up top. He's roaming, and I'm like, dude, we already got players that roam around. We already got Griezmann. We already got Coutinho. We already got Messi. We need a disciplined nine. We need a guy up top, the top of the spear, to hold the defense. And that's not Depay. That's not his style. He also roams around. Okay, Coleman knows him. All right, whatever, dude. But we need a positional discipline at the nine, you know. It kind of reminds me also when, you know, when we used to play the 4-3-3 and we had small forwards, right? We had Messi. We had Villa. Remember David Villa? And we had
Pedro.
Alexis Pedro or Alexis Sanchez, right?
Right, yeah.
We're playing a 4-3-3 and we had the three Smurfs up top. And it worked, yeah. You know, so you don't really need, you could play with a false nine, you know, it's up to the coach and the coach to put these guys to work and have the proper tactics, you know, and we're hoping Coleman could do that with this roster. And I think he can squeeze, you know, he could squeeze water out of the rock, and the rock being Messi and the other older guys, and hopefully, you know, lead us to at least a La Liga trophy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they should be fighting for La Liga. I don't know about the Champions League, but they should be always be fighting for that La Liga trophy. Today, Coutinho was the man of the match. He was the best player of the game, and that's something good for Barca that's fans. True. Yeah, we need this guy to be that superstar, right? And we need him close to the box so he can shoot as many times as he can. He even gave so many passes today that get those through passes that he's so good at. And I am really excited to see Coutinho flourish again here at Barca.
And it makes you wonder what they put in the water over there in Munich, right? Like, yes. Dude, this guy came out yoked. Like, you're like, holy smokes, what are they doing over there? And you see, what was it, Goretzka, yes. Right? You know, he played double pivot with Thiago, and you're like, holy smokes, these dudes are built like rocks. Like, what are they? Makes you wonder what they put in the protein shakes over there. But like you said, Coutinho, he has something to prove.
Yes.
And he's coming back hungry. Obviously, he won the Champions League. Awesome for him. But he was a role player, right? He was a role player, and he'll come in and do some dirty work in the end and gets his goals. But he's coming back. To prove himself that he's going to get a starting job, and he's going to be the old Coutinho from Liverpool. You know, back then we used to call him Coutinho, right? Cut in. He was a one trick pony. You knew Coutinho was going to cut right, shoot far post, curl it in. And that was Coutinho. That was what you were getting. That was your bread and butter. And that's your one trick. Okay. Let's do it. Do it. But in La Liga, everybody figured him out. Everybody's like, oh, you know, and it didn't help that the rest of the team we didn't play wide enough, and we would just clog the middle. So Coutinho would cut right. Well, dude, Messi was already there, and the defenders were already there waiting for you, and there was no space, and you were just blocked time and time again. So maybe Coutinho going to Munich was good for him. He could evolve more. You see him go into the box, right? You see him go to the box and be a of a poacher and be there, Johnny, on the spot to pick up any crosses. So that might be a good thing. So now you have Coutinho on the left, right? And then now we look at the right wing, right? It's like, okay, we have you have options there, right? Now you have Dembele, right? You have Trincao. Trincao has been a pleasant surprise. Now Dembele, I don't think I would start him right away. Like, I'm kind of... No,
he seems like he's going to be coming a lot from the bench. I mean, and especially with the injuries that he's had in the last couple of years, you have to take him step by step, right? You don't want to force him to play 90 minutes and then just get him injured again. Let's go slow. And I mean, if he can come from the bench and play 30 minutes, like you said, the same concept as Suarez, and just start running when defenders are tired, and then trying to catch Dembele, who's fresh, that's going to be a good spark for Barcelona during the season. So very excited. We're about to begin the La Liga tournament a week from now, or less than a week from now. Barcelona will be playing their first game against Villarreal at Camp Nou. Who would be in your starting 11? Neto's going to be in the goalie because Ter Stegen is out. We still have the same defense that played at Lisbon. So what's going on with that? I thought they were going to do some type of revolution, but it's the same defense. It's Alba in the left, Lenglet, Piqué, and Semedo in right. So I guess that's going to be the four defenders. But in the middle, who do you think is going to start along with Frankie de Jong in that 4-2-3-1?
Oh, it has to be, I'm trying to pronounce his name right, Pjanic.
Yeah, Pjanic. Right?
Pjanic, he's going to be the guy, right? He's a proven commodity. We saw him play in Juventus many, many years.
Yeah.
You know, he can do the dirty work. There is no doubt that double pivot is there to do the dirty work, right? Messi's not going to do the dirty
work. No.
Dembele is not going to do the dirty work. You know, and it kind of reminds me of brings back memories of the track back king. Remember the track back king?
Yes.
Who was the king of tracking back? Our favorite player, Andre Gomes. This formation was made for Gomes.
I know.
What is he playing in Everton? 4-2-3-1 in the double pivot. We never, like, he is a good player. right? Yeah. He was a good player. We just were playing a 4-3-3, and it just wasn't for him. But in a 4-2-3-1, the track back Keane, Andre Gomes would be perfect to play alongside De Jong.
Right. But I'm scared, and I think, I don't know why, that Coleman's going to start Busquets again, because he started today the Gamper Trophy. Pjanic couldn't do the whole preseason with the team, so I don't know if he's going to be actually ready to play for 90 minutes in the first game, at least in the first game. So I have that feeling that it's going to be Busquets just to start the season. Maybe once we get going, it's going to be Pjanic, and I agree with you. It should be De Jong and Pjanic, and then Coutinho, hopefully, Ansu Fati, Messi, and Griezmann, right? And then Alinha playing some games for maybe rotating with Pjanic there, and sometimes when De Jong needs to rest.
And then you have the wing players, right? You know, if you have Fati, you have Pedri, right? So you have Pedri right there, and Trincao. And these, although, you know, we didn't have money. There you go again. We didn't have administrative problems. We didn't have money to sign big players. But these are additions. There are great additions, that purchases that they made way, way before. Mm-hmm. Trincao could, dude, that, what a change of pace, right? So not only do you have Dembele on the right, you have Trincao. It's a different type of player that plays right on the sideline, touching the sideline, could get to the goal line and make that cutback pass. Yes. Or I thought he was right-footed, but I'm like, holy dude is left-footed. But this guy, he is very talented, right? And he's just ready to burst out, and he could also cut in and shoot. So I'm pretty excited about him. And then Pedri is a known commodity. We watched him play in Las Palmas. The dude has the jogo bonito, man. He is beautiful playing, you know. He has the vision to make those passes. So he is another exciting player with the change of pace on the wings. And then you have Alenia, right? So if we're talking about the double pivot, and you have Busquets and Janic, and now you have Alenia also getting some minutes. That's nice, you know. Now you have a player that's maturing. You have a player that's left-footed, right? You have a left-footed pivot player that could spray mm-hmm. the ball over there to the right side, right, for those wing players. You know, maybe we go back to kind of that Luis Enrique mentality, where maybe we kind of bypass the midfield and start launching it to the wingers out in the wings, creating space. I could see that happen with Coleman and these double pivots, right? Just, hey, get it down to the wings, get the defense spread out, and then maybe cut it back in and look for the number 10, look for Messi or whoever's in the middle. So that could be a strategy that happens this season.
Yeah, we'll see, because we went from 4-3 to then sometimes needing four midfielders, because we cannot hold other teams, especially in the Champions League. It was hard for Barcelona to be at the same level as other teams were. And now we have only two pivots, and we might have four offensive players. If you count, I mean, Coutinho is probably one that can come back, and maybe Griezmann, we've seen all year and last year how he can come back and help. But you know, Messi's not going to come back. Maybe Ansu Fati will be one of the guys that will help a little bit too when it's time to defend. So we're ready. We're ready for this season to start, and we'll see. We'll see what happens, what Coleman decides for that starting 11.
But yeah, what worries me is the defense, right? You pointed out that it's the same guys, right?
Yes.
Alba, Lenglet, Piqué, and either Sergio or Semedo. Maybe Semedo gets sold. The rumors are strong that he's going to go to Wolverhampton, right? He's going to go to the Wolves for 40 million. So maybe we use that 40 million to buy Sergiño Dest. And then there was a rumor today of some other player in the Premier League that they were looking at, and I'm like, okay, we don't even have money. but the big concern with these guys is they are fresh enough. They can start every game, right? But when you get to the Champions League, and when you get to these games at the end of the season, they are not sharp, right? And it's interesting, as you get older, and it's happened to some of us that we play, where you lose a microsecond, right? You lose a microsecond in your thought of play, and then you lose a microsecond in your playing and your speed. So that microsecond now becomes a second, yes. Right? Now, at that level, that is not going to work anymore. And at that level, and you're playing against the elite of the elite in the Champions League, and toward the end of the season when you're tired, you're not that sharp. You can play physically, right? These guys can play physically. Alba can play, Pique, Pique, but they're not sharp anymore. You know, Busquets, too. It's not sharp anymore. Mm-hmm. Busquets probably has lost more than a second.
Yes, a second and a half. He's not as fast, and he never was fast. So he really looks slower than everybody else. But we'll see. We're obviously, when the season starts, we're all excited. We still have problems, but we know we start from stretch, from scratch. So we're good to go. Real Madrid played yesterday, so they started La Liga a little bit before us, and now it's our time to start against Villarreal. So we're ready for this season here in Barça Talk.
Barça Talk is part of the Blaugranagram podcast network under the Blaugranagram news outlet. Blaugranagram is your place for all aspects of Barça. Go to blaugranagram.com for more info. Barça Talk is a production of Sound It Media with social media and promotion by 2.0.